I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. I am joined with the one and only Nick Manning. I wish I had a bit of a, Chesney Hawks playing when I announced you there. Nick, thank you very much for reappearing for a second time on the show.
I'm delighted to join you again, Matt. It's a real honour.
So, obviously, Canada and America, there were still some legalities, obviously, with COVID, and this talk's going to be about just your experience and obviously the season the Bills had itself. And we'll go on to that. One of the reasons we got on here, that spur of the moment to the game, I think most Bills fans now will want to put into the category of the Tennessee game, the wide right game and all that. Games we don't want to really talk about, but we're going to anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's start with it. Obviously, COVID hit, you're stuck in Canada. How really was that for you, knowing that you've been a season ticket fan for as long as you've been over there? The fact you couldn't really get over there to tailgate or even watch a game. I'm assuming for you that must have been really, really painful, and wouldn't be surprised if that house has got about loads of dents in the wall and all that.
Yeah, it was I kind of felt the 2021 season was way more frustrating than the 2020 season. There was a moment in 2020 where it was really clear that we weren't going to be able to cross the border. There wasn't going to be any prospect of opening. And it was just, you know, there was so much going on with COVID and the travel shutdowns and all that business that, you know, I know a lot of Canadian fans, and I did. We got back the money that we paid for our season tickets. And the Bills have been great about the arrangements. They let you keep your seniority. They let you keep your seats for the next year. I really had kissed the 2020 season goodbye and was at peace with that. You know, it was way beyond my control. I thought maybe we'd get to the playoffs, but you know, that was obvious that we weren't going to get there either. And you know, knowing that last year's playoff run and those home games were so sparsely attended, you could kind of say, ah, dang it, COVID, you know, it is what it is. But this year felt really different. We, you know, in Canada, we'd been able to travel around a lot more. You know, you guys in the UK, you were traveling around Europe and doing things. And this season, it was frustrating because, you know, the start of the year, we had this rule where, you know, you could fly into the US, but you couldn't drive. And that stuck around for way too long. So that was really frustrating. You know, we were thinking, well, maybe we'll get there for the home opener, and that didn't happen. Maybe we'll be there by Halloween, and that didn't quite happen either. And it was just so annoying when we could finally go. You know, and stupid as well. Here in Canada, you had to have a COVID test to come back into Canada, but not to get into the US. In my case, I was able to take a COVID test 5 minutes from my office here, a PCR test, before I left. Drive across the border, it's only 2 hours away, go to the game, come home, and that test counted. So it was a lot of frustration and all that business. And a lot of people really struggled. And I know a lot of Canadian fans and friends of mine have not been able to go because of the uncertainty of border difficulties still. So the Canadian contingent that I head down with has been really light this year. But I think I managed to make it. It was awful. I made it to the Indianapolis game.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was brutal. Then the rules changed again. And I made it to the Patriots game at home. Ooh, that was awful. And I was thinking
a passion going on here.
Right? I was thinking to myself, COVID has broken the street. I can't go anymore. This is a real problem. And then, as it happens, the only other game I was going to be able to get to before I came home to the UK was the Carolina game. And then it just the travel stuff didn't line up, so I couldn't make it. I flew home before that game, so I made it to two games all season, which was irritating as all heck because the conditions were such that we should have been able to travel, and I went to the two worst home games of the year, perhaps outside of the Pittsburgh game, which was another aberration. So that was awful. And then, of course, Omicron hit while we were back home. And that meant, though I'd made all of my travel plans knowing that what I could do this year was I was likely to be able to get to five games. And then it turned out I've been to two, missed one, and then I had to miss the next two because, you know, stupid quarantine restrictions. So I didn't get to the Falcons game and I didn't get to the Jets game because, you know, you had to then get tested. The rules will change. You had to get tested in the US. So, you know, you run the gauntlet of can you get a test in time? Are they available? Can you book? And so for those home games at the end of the season, I ended up not being able to go, and none of my friends again could either. So it was so annoying. And then the playoffs, and we did manage to get. I did manage to get there for the home game against the Patriots. Thank you, spirits. Thank you, football gods. What an incredible game! It was. I think somebody had said to me it was the best. Their best sporting experience ever. And I think I probably agree. It was a bitingly cold day in the stands, just so cold. The wind was utterly brutal. And then it was just the best game, best game. Reconnecting with friends and family in the, you know, friends and family, by which I mean tailgate family, football family, and seeing them all was fantastic. So things were looking up, and that brings us to the week that followed, and what was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're about to talk about it, but when you obviously said it and seen just your post about it being a spur of the moment, it just has one of those really good. Could have been a feel-good story, in a way, leading into who knows what afterwards. But apart from that, I wish I could do something like that. Just hop on a plane, go over there, and just rock up to a stadium tickets and watch a game. I mean, how really was it? Was it a spur of the moment, or were you kind of planning it as it was going along?
No, it was a legit spur of the moment decision to go to Kansas City. So I'd obviously gone to Buffalo for the Patriots game, and it was a bit of an ordeal, right? I mean, despite the fact that, you know, my summary is I went, it was great, I got a test and everything was fine. It was a bit of an ordeal. I had to travel down on Saturday, which is not something I normally do. It's only 2 hours away, so. You know, it's easy to just pop down, and I've normally got a mate to travel down with. He wasn't around, so I'd had to go on Saturday, drive to some weird place south of Buffalo to get a test, stayed overnight, you know, the game, heading back. So it was a bit of an ordeal, and, you know, though we should be able to travel and all that kind of stuff, it was a bit, I won't say stressful, but it was definitely out of the ordinary for somebody who's so now used to traveling down to see a game and just that tiny little bit of hassle of border crossing. It was it was more than a tiny bit of hassle. It was a thing. So that was kind of in my head when it was apparent that we knew we had to play KC by the end of that weekend. So I'd said, I don't know. I don't know that I'll go. It's a long way away. And the talk amongst us as friends up here was we all had our sights set on Nashville. It was probable that the Titans were going to win that game against the Bengals. We were all super confident of going into Kansas City and destroying them like we had done earlier in the year. Yeah. And so all sights were set on Nashville. Bills fans travel really well to Nashville, and Nashville's an amazing party city. So we were like, I think we'll plan on doing that. And this was the conversation, particularly me and my wife had, is let's do that. I'll do that. Me and my friend Nick will travel down to Nashville. you know, we know that that is a good 10-hour drive away, but that's an overnight, and we can get our head around it, and we can make a party of it and make a trip of it. And there's no drama about testing and all that kind of stuff. There's lots of places to. So that was the plan. And then on Saturday night, you guys would have been tucked up in bed at this point, or not quite. You'd have been watching the Bengals game. It was probably 6:30 at night for me, 11:30 for you guys.
Yeah.
And me and my wife and my daughter had sat down in our front room and ordered some wings from the bar in town. And we're sat there dipping our buffalo wings into our blue cheese dip and talking and watching the Bengals game. And it was increasingly like, man, Bengals are going to win this thing. We could host the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And my daughter said to me, "Oh, Daddy, I bet you're sad that you're not going to Kansas City now." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I really am." And my wife said, "I didn't say you shouldn't go." And no word of a lie, it was 6:30, and kind of for the first half an hour of that little period, I was like, "Well, am I?" And I just kind of got my phone out while we're watching the Bengals tootle along, and I suppose, could I get a COVID test? Could I get a COVID test? Yeah, I think I probably. So I found a Walgreens in nowhere in outside of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah,
and they had an appointment, and they had an appointment on the Monday, middle of the day. Oh, I thought to myself, well, I'll just book that, just in case. And then, what really happened was there were 2 minutes. I'll never forget it. 2 minutes and 46 seconds left to go in the Bengals game, and it was. I was thinking to myself, they're gonna win this game. I'm not gonna go to Nashville. And with that COVID test booked, the switch just flicked in my head.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, okay, onto the Chiefs website, ticket, book. And I got one really, really reasonably. And from 6:30 to the end of the game, I had packed a bag, I'd got my stuff together, booked a test, booked a ticket, and hopped in the car. And I literally walked out of the house. I was in the car ready to go, and the Bengals were kicking that field goal at the end of the game, and I ran back in just to watch that. Yep, kick was through, ran out screaming, and off I went. And it was five hours from my house to Fort Wayne, Indiana. On the Saturday night, I got there about 12:30. Woke up probably about 4:30 in the morning on Sunday. I just couldn't sleep; it was too much. And drove the 8.5 hours to Kansas City.
Oh, flip. Well, at least you got a nice little bit of travelling, seeing a bit of the old sights.
You say that, except don't forget it's winter, so it was totally dark when I drove. I mean, I've been to Detroit a bunch of times, but the route from my house to Kansas City was my house, Detroit, Toledo, Fort Wayne, Indianapolis, St. Louis, and then Kansas City. And I think it was only light as I drove that period from Indianapolis on a straight, like it's a straight road, like 500 kilometers of straight road from Indianapolis to Kansas City. And that was the only bit that I did in the light. So I saw the arch of St. Louis far in the distance as I booked it all the way, you know, 85 miles an hour down the highway to Kansas City.
Yeah, man, I love the spur of the moment stuff. I mean, especially for a game like that, when you knew either way, whether it be in Nashville or Buffalo, that it's more than likely you potentially were going to go see a game anyway. I mean, it's just a magical, really. And I'm assuming then, obviously, we Bills fans travel so well on there. I bet it was just like a normal home game, I'm assuming, when you got there and got to tailgating.
Yeah, well, it is magical. Before we were chatting, you'd said to me, before we were recording here, you said to me, it's like you wish you could do those things on a whim. And I think it was that thought I moved to Canada so I could see the Bills play. I moved to Canada so that I could do that on a whim.
Yeah.
And I was like, why, like, what am I doing here? And like, these things are not going to come around every year. The opportunity is not going to be there. I need to do this because this is why we moved. This is what it was all about. So when I arrived in Kansas City, it was a little bit frustrating when I got there, because there's a time change. These things that you have to worry about when you're driving across America, there's a time change. And I got a bit muddled up about when I needed to leave, but 4:30 departure from Fort Wayne, Indiana, didn't quite get me there in time to join up with the convoy of cars that were leaving from some hotel that they were staying in to drive into the parking lot. So I knew from friends of mine that used to tailgate with us in Hammerslot in Buffalo, that the Kansas City Bills backers had kind of commandeered this area in the north end of the stadium. So I knew where to go roughly, and they'd posted online, but I drove around the stadium trying to figure out how to get to the lot and drive in. And then of course, what's different, I mean, if your listeners have ever kind of been to Buffalo, you file into the lots and they're quite strict about getting you into places and getting you in an order. And so for hardened tailgaters like me, we arrive at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning to drive into the lot and get the spot that you really want, or that is, in my case, mine now. But in Kansas City, they just open the parking lots and people drive in. And then
free for all.
Yeah. And so there's spots free all the way down these massive rows. And so I had arrived about an hour after everyone else. So it was pretty full and everyone had set their tables out. And, you know, I had to drive through this massive red and gold to get to this area that I knew all the Bills fans were in. And then Bills fans being Bills fans, they were all waving me in. So I'm driving this massive Ford F-150 truck, which is what I drive. Another dream vehicle for a lot of your listeners, I would imagine. So I'm driving down this tiny row of cars, people moving their stuff out of the way, calling me in to like pull in. And then some dude from a car dealership had to help me because the space was technically too small for getting the truck in. And then I had the ignominy of having to climb out the passenger side and all that business once I was
oh, someone should have videoed that would have been so funny to see,
right? But it was super. I mean, I was handed a beer by Bills fans as I got out of the truck, and they'd come from everywhere. There weren't that many of our tailgate regulars who'd made the travel. Pinto Ron, real name Ken Johnson, he was there with his son Brandon. Caitlin O'Brien, another of our tailgate regulars, was there. As I say, lots of people from Kansas City Bills backers had made the journey, but it was a atypical crowd. And I tweeted about this, like, it's different when you go to an away game. A home game, it's all kind of very predictable, you know what's going to be. You know, there's nobody, certainly in my lot and in general, despite what the media says, nobody jumping through tables, and you don't get all of this shout song. Like, hey, nobody's doing that like every 2 minutes at home. Away, you know, I'm driving down the street and there's a random Bill fan walking down the street, and you know, you get and you have to shout it back to them. And then randomly in the parking lot, this, you know, there's probably about 200 of us in the midst of the car park in Kansas City, and somebody would shout, hey, and then it goes on for 5 minutes with everybody doing that back. So it's a bit weird, but it's a nice kind of away game thing. And then you got way more table jumpers. There's a lot of people who are there like, okay, I know what Bills fans do, they jump through tables. So it wasn't quite as epic as the Jacksonville playoff game to break the drought. There was a burning pyre of broken tables in the lot as we left that day. It wasn't that scale, but it was certainly quite a lot of broken plastic and twisted metal by the time we left.
So what about the atmosphere when you got in the stadium? Obviously, Arrowhead Stadium is renowned for being one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. What was that experience like in there? Obviously, if we fast forward to last 2 minutes of that game and that overtime, I'm assuming that it's a very electric, and pretty much if there was a roof on that stadium, it would probably be knocked off way before that 2 minutes.
Don't know. I think I'm probably a bit numb from the last parts of the game. Adrenaline was ripping through me. I was shaking, and I was going from euphoria, and I could feel the tears coming. Like I let myself think after that last Gabe Davis touchdown, I let myself think, we're going to host the AFC Championship game. I'm going to be in my seat. So that was a thing. Was it loud? It was certainly super loud. I mean, there is no doubt. People will say to you, Kansas City, Arrowhead is one of those stadiums you want to plan to visit. And I'm kind of skeptical. I love Buffalo. I love the Ralph. I love Highmark. We have a great thing going on there with amazing tailgating. And I would put that up against any experience and any NFL team. Kansas City is easily as good as Buffalo. And it's not even trying to do that. It was really good. From the tailgate experience outside, which was enormous, and because of the way that the stadium sits in a bowl, you can see much more of it than you can in Buffalo. So you get this sense of like enormity and size of crowd just in the parking lots. And then when you go in, you can see all of that around, which you can't do because the Buffalo's kind of sunk down into the ground. Inside, it was loud. They have a beautiful stadium, and their fans were awesome, like really knowledgeable. In fact, the crowd, I would say, it was generally kind of like more knowledgeable about football than Bills fans generally are. Silent on offense, no noise on offense, no noise whatsoever, and loud, super loud on defense. And Bills fans, and there were quite a few in the stadium, tried to make some noise when we were on defense, but it wasn't happening really. They made a lot of noise, and those oval video boards that they have really bring a kind of totally different experience and perspective. And I posted these pictures on my Instagram, my UK Bills backer Instagram. But the sun was setting. There was a stealth bomber flying by. It was a real thing. It was a special atmosphere and a special moment to be there at kickoff. It was really loud. But then, so we marched down the field, right? Ran on them, scored on them, no problem. And I was so puffed up. I was the only Bills fan in the section that I was in. And I was like, yeah, get that. And it was really emotional. And they were fine with me. It wasn't at all moody. And it became one of those, it was such a slugfest. And then particularly the last 2 minutes, I feel like I'd made friends for life of these people around us, because just the adrenaline. I told you I was shaking, there were tears, that was going through everybody there. And by the time 13 seconds is on the clock, we are all just yelling at each other, what is this game? What is this game? And it's such a blur to think of what comes after that moment. Actually, I have lots of really clear memories, also brilliant video from my seats of those touchdowns and seeing it all happen. But then the moments afterwards are a real blur for me, and just seeing them march down the field. Okay, it's not a blur, it's all totally crystal clear and super emotional still. I can't really bear to think about it.
No, I mean it is one of those once in a lifetime things. I mean, you say you're the only, pretty much the only Bill in that section. I'm assuming then the point where it got to Gabe Davis's touchdown, 13 seconds left, I'm assuming that even all the fans were dead quiet, thinking they're about to walk out the building to then turn around. I'm assuming that the noise was even louder than what it usually is after that, after going down the drive to actually get that field goal. I assume that there was a bit of light banter between you and pretty much every single Chief fan that's in that section.
Oh God, I can feel it come back now. I've got shivers down my spine. Like at 13 seconds, they all knew that we had won, and I knew we had won. Like it was, and I was really trying to keep it together and not be a complete TWAT to them, because I was like, oh, I've been hit. Like Bills fans have lived through a lot. Sucks to be you right now, and I am going mental inside. The at the when they scored that field goal, it, in fact, you knew when Kelce caught it. It was like, oh, we're done, we are done. And it was just the roller coaster of emotion. I can't really describe the banter. It was intense, but it was friendly, and it was like. It would have originally been a little bit moody, I suppose you could say. When if we just went in there and towards the end of the game went and marched on them and, you know, put two scores on them, it would have been a bit moody. They would have been annoyed and effing and blinding and all that kind of stuff. At 13 seconds, they were like, oh man, great team. What a great quarterback. You deserve this. Well done. Of course, then I had to kind of adopt a bit of that. But all I really wanted to do was slink off immediately. And break things, and it was crushing. I almost wish. I remember that feeling. You remember the Arizona game last year when we had that shot, and I was like, oh, it would have been terrible to be there for that. I'm glad I'm at home, and it was right in that moment where I was like, oh boy, I am 13 and a half hours from home. This went from a really great story about a spur of the moment to winning the greatest playoff game of all time to look at this idiot who drove on the spur of a moment for 13 hours. And now I've got to sit there and drive all the way back and get a COVID test. It was just a roller coaster of terrible emotion.
Pretty much then you could say it's 13 hours for 13 seconds.
Oh, you said it. You said it. That's devastating.
I was myself, obviously it was what 3:30 in the morning on that one. I mean, missus was upstairs asleep, I was downstairs. I pretty much had to woke up to watch it because I was due to go into surgery the very next day, and I was there trying hide behind my thing, ready to scream and shout when that she knocked the roof off. And I just, as soon as it hit and went overtime and they won it, I was there just going, yeah. I wish I could chuck some of the TV right now, but just went off to bed, had a little moan, little cry to myself. And then, as I say, the rest is history. And now we obviously see the Bengals going into the Super Bowl, knowing that that could pretty much have been the Bills and in with a really good chance of taking it.
It should have been us. I couldn't help, but I was really salty all of last week and all the week after watching the championship games. You know, it should have been us. It should have been us. I think it would have been, the Bengals have played amazing in that game, and I think have really done amazing things with Joe Burrow and how they've put that roster together. They're amazing. And they for sure, I mean, Chase would have put pressure on our back seven. So who knows how that game would have gone. But you talked to me at any point during that game and in the build up to it, that was ours. There's an enormous part of me that says at 13 seconds, we kissed our Super Bowl goodbye. And I was stood in the parking lot waiting for everybody to leave and knowing I've got this enormous drive in front of me. And it was so funny how quickly, like, there's this kind of sad anger that Bills fans have. And we were so quickly in that point, like, so sad and angry. I don't know if the sadness tempers the anger, whether the anger intensifies the sadness, but we've lived through too much of this, man. There is too much of that in Bills history. And this next season has to be the one. The window is wide open for us, and it will close really quickly. And we need to have a season better than the one we just had. I think we need to put it together. We need to figure some stuff out. And I don't want to be in a situation where we're losing to a Pittsburgh in week one. I don't want to be in a situation where we're still playing in week 17 to win the division. I mean,
yeah,
I'd like to be able to put that stuff to bed. We are better than the Patriots. We are better than the Dolphins, and we're better than the Jets. We need to put that stuff to bed a week or two in advance of the end of the season and get right for the playoffs and go on a run. That needs to happen. We're owed it. We've invested 3 a.m.s the night before surgery. We've invested a 13.5 hour drive. You know, being a Bills fan, particularly if you're in England or the UK, is a special experience.
Yeah.
And I think you really start to kind of feel it. Like, there is a kind of defining characteristic of Bills fans now, and it's that feeling of too close, not close enough.
Yeah.
We got to. This is the year. We got to do it. I'm not despondent about our future. I'm bereft about how this season finished.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's one of those ones where it's the what if moment. What if we put up 10 points against the Jaguars to their 9? Where would that leave us? It would probably leave us in hosting the divisional games and hosting the championship game. So it is definitely not so much a make or break season this season, but a season really. We've now got obviously new coordinator, new QB coach, new O-line coach and all that, just to get that gel going and just really hit that season, hit the ground running from training camp onwards to, in essence, rectify those minor issues on there and actually make sure that this 13 seconds happens the other way around. We end someone's dream in 13 seconds, or we don't even get to 13 seconds and we pretty much have the game won by the fourth quarter. I think that's really what we've got to do. Look forward rather than look backwards. The past of the past, the history's history. The only thing you can do is look forward.
That's right. There's still something about the poetry of our history though that appeals to me. I think I'd seen that it was 1988, wasn't it, that we made the AFC Championship game, and then in 1989 we lost in the divisional round.
Yeah.
And then what happened? 4 straight Super Bowls.
Yeah.
The poetry of that happening again to us now really appeals to me. I need to believe that history will repeat itself and that we are in for a Super Bowl this in 2022-23 and maybe more after that. I think our quarterback has the talent to take us there. So the poetry appeals to me, but I think you're dead right. Like, you can't look at history. We know what we've got with this team. And I was thinking as well, we went into this season with a lot of questions. You know, we went into it with questions about the offensive line and about the defensive line. We went into it with a little bit of a question about the secondary. And I just wonder how much further on we are this year than we were last year. I think we know a lot more. We really understand the value of Trey White. If we didn't before, we certainly do now. You know, it feels a lot like we did last year. What about the running game? Can we get the offensive line right? Can we get some kind of 4-man pass rush to be effective? So those are all the same questions. We were effective this year, so let's build on that. Let's see the team put some pieces together. I don't want to become an LA Rams. Buying our way into the Super Bowl tastes wrong to me.
More of a Bengals approach, obviously, where they come and how they've actually built culture, drafted well, and actually got those odd key free agents to really boost them up. And they've gone from being number one pick last year to potentially number 32 pick this year. So that's probably the philosophy that really we've got to try and install this year.
That's right. We need Bean to do a good job of drafting. We need McDermott to integrate these new coaches. build on the gaps that we know that we have this year. I personally think the absence of Daboll is an opportunity to reimagine some of his limitations in play calling, let's say. I've been frustrated by play calling the last couple of years. He did a good job for us, but you know, we became one dimensional, and I think, oh boy, I was yelling about some of those Josh Allen runs in the divisional game. We got away from the running game, which worked early on. And why did we get away from that? We did not need to. That interesting game with McKenzie, with the jet motions and bringing McKenzie into the game, where did that go? And so that's really a hallmark of Daboll. Like, when his back was against the wall, he didn't go back to the play sheet and some of that imaginative stuff. That all came out early, and then it was like, Josh, go do your thing. And that's not a recipe for long-term Josh Allen success. So, I think we're in good stead. I think I'm hopeful, and that's what we always have. And you know, actually, I want to tell you this: the defining thought on the season is this. I was stood in the car park after the game in Kansas City with Pinto Ron, and he'll break his 500 consecutive game streak this year that they let him go to. You know, he hasn't missed a game home and away that they've let him go to since the 93 Super Bowl or something crazy like that. And we were stood talking and somebody said, Ron, how do you keep doing this? Kenny, how do you keep doing this? And he said, because we always have hope. And there is never a game where we don't have hope. And I think that's a thought that I keep with me, because I always have hope, and I can knock up to the home opener next year, and I'll drive down to Rochester, hopefully, to see the Bills at training camp again, and I'll have hope. And I think we'll hang on to that hope and have a great season next year.
Yeah. So final question before we end it. Obviously, Bills aren't in there. Rams, Bengals. Who have you actually got? Are you going to be a Bengals fan for the day, or are you rooting for the Rams? Just being AFC. You don't want an AFC team to actually win the Super Bowl.
I don't care. The Bills aren't in it, so I don't care. I won't be a fan of any other team. I'm not one of these people who has like a backup team or a second team. I'm a Bills fan, and that's my team. So I don't care who wins. It makes no difference to me. I don't care whether an AFC team wins or an NFC team. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. I think the Bengals will win. And I think that will hurt a lot for Bills fans. The Bengals getting their Super Bowl before us feels wrong. I don't know why, but I think they will, and I think that will feel bad. I think if the Rams win, we can all go, yeah, well, they bought it, of course, and who cares about the Rams anyway? But I honestly don't care. Who cares? The Bills aren't in it. Who cares?
Exactly. Well, Nick, thank you very, very much for coming on, telling your story of the season and the spur of the moment trip to Kansas. Obviously, let the followers and listeners know where they can find you, and obviously keep in touch and chat Bills with you.
Yeah, you got it. Well, anyone who's thinking of traveling out from the UK or anywhere in the world, there's always going to be a home for you at the Pinto tailgate. All you need to do is look for the Union flags. There are a great many wherever I am around that. It's not that I'm a member of the BNP. It's just that I impersonate one on Bill's tailgate weekends. That's what I look like. So you can't miss me. But you can find me on Twitter at UK Bills Backer, and the same on Instagram. You can message me on either of those platforms, and I will be more than happy to help you build your itinerary for your absolute best Bills weekend if you can make it out here.
Beautiful. So hit up Nick next year if you fancy going over to Buffalo. He'll be more than happy to introduce you to the Hammerlocks, to Pinto Ron, the whole works. So, Nick, thank you very, very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
That's who we are.
That's on three. One, two, three.